tell you, she was rehearsing that last night, right before the service, right before I came out, and I got to shout in that room back there. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, what a Savior. Thank you. I like a song that just exalts Jesus, don't you? Well, let's get right into the message here tonight. I had another message I was going to preach, and the Lord laid it on my heart to preach on prayer. I've got a number of messages on prayer, but this is one that I believe the Lord wants me to preach. Now, you've heard everything I've got to preach, so you're getting a rerun. That's all I can give you now is reruns, because I've preached on about everything in this book. I've got hundreds and hundreds of sermons that I've preached here. But tonight, this is what I believe the Lord wants me to preach on. Turn to Luke, the 18th chapter. Luke 18, just one verse. Just one verse. Luke 18:1, page 1100, your old Scofield Reference Bible, King James Version. Amen. Now, where do you find it? Luke 18:1, just one verse. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this privilege of coming in your presence tonight. Lord, thank you for these good testimonies of what the Lord's doing around the world. It's exciting, Lord, to know that our mission money is paying off in the dividend of precious souls around the world, where Jesus is being preached as the Savior. And Father, we thank you for the mission program you've given our church and the missionaries. Now, Lord, bless us as we look into your word together tonight. May the Holy Spirit touch his word, touch these dear people, touch this preacher, and may Jesus be glorified in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Guess I better turn this thing on here. Okay, we're in business now. Luke 18 is one of the great chapters in the Word of God. The Lord Jesus opened this chapter with a clear admonition concerning prayer. Then he gives us five examples to illustrate that his teaching meant that all men ought to pray. He mentioned in verse 3 a praying widow and a praying Pharisee in verses 10 and 11, and a praying publican, not a Republican, like the little boy called it, Republican, a praying widow. Republican and Democrats ought to pray, but this was a publican here, a praying publican. And then in verse 18, a praying ruler. And then verse 38, a praying beggar. All men, everywhere, in all circumstances, ought to pray. And you need to learn to pray. You know, you're not going to make it in the Christian life unless you learn to pray. And you're not going to make it in the Lord's service unless you learn to pray. You can't make it on the mission field. Certainly, you need to pray on the mission field. And so let's look at this verse of Scripture, each word of this admonition that fell from the lips of Jesus in verse 1 on prayer. First of all, the admonition is men ought to pray, ought always to pray and not to faint. The first word is men. That is everyone. Humanity. Speaking, when he says men here, that's people everywhere ought to pray. So men ought to pray. Someone said that man is the only animal who can look up. And man made in the image of God, the Lord God of heaven, should look up and pray to his heavenly Father. In Daniel 4, we see Nebuchadnezzar out in the fields like a wild animal, went with dew, his nails grown long like bird's claws, and hair like eagles, eating grass like an ox. He was driven from his throne as a lunatic, but in Daniel 4:34, old Nebuchadnezzar said, I lifted up mine eyes unto heaven. And old Nebuchadnezzar said, mine understanding returned unto me. Then he started shouting and praising God, and his throne was restored to him. Yes, we as members of Adam's fallen race ought to pray. And in Psalm 65:2, this is a precious verse. I've mentioned this many, many times to you. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. There's two things in that verse. First of all, the name of God, O thou that hearest prayer. That's one of the names of God. He has many names. He's the Lord God of heaven. He's Jehovah God, God Almighty, but one of his names, and this is precious, O thou that hearest prayer. Then secondly, unto thee shall all flesh come. This is an invitation to everyone. All flesh, white flesh, black flesh, red flesh, white flesh, polka dot flesh, all flesh can come unto O thou that hearest prayer. Aren't you glad of that? Men around the world can come unto the one very name is O thou that hearest prayer. Then a second thing in this verse, men ought to pray. Men ought to pray. And we ought to pray about everything. We ought to pray for our families. We ought to pray for our children. We ought to pray for our mate. We ought to pray for our church. We ought to pray for our pastor, Brother Jody. And we ought to pray for our country. We ought to pray for faith promise. We ought to pray that God's will. Now these missionaries, we have about 100 missionaries. And they're dependent upon what we do this next Sunday for their support for the next year. So it's very, very critical that this church do the will of God. We ought to pray that we'll all put down on that card next Sunday what God wants us to give above our tithe to missions for the next 12 months, next 52 weeks. And men ought to pray. I'm just thinking today when I came across this about my dear mama one time. We had two sets of children there in my family, three older ones and then us three younger ones. And my brother Don and my sister Barbara went home. And I was about 10 or 11. My sister was about 9 maybe. And my brother Don was about 6 or 7, somewhere along there. But mama had to go to Chattanooga. This is many years ago, to have gallbladder surgery. And it's very, very serious. Anytime there's even today, any surgery on me is serious, but it was extremely serious back then. And my mother, she sat three cane bottom chairs right in front of me, right here. And she sat right here and put us three children on the chairs. And she said, children, mama's going to have to go to Erlanger Hospital for very serious surgery. And she looked at us and said, if I don't come back, I won't meet you in heaven. And they came and got my mother. I never would. That's one of the first times that I believe that I was brought face to face with eternity as a child. And they took mama away. But thank God he brought her back. And I never forget. I thank God I had a mom that believed in prayer. And it is not only a privilege for us to approach the great God of the universe in prayer, but Jesus said we ought to do it. It's our responsibility to do it. We're not forced to pray. The Lord gives us freedom. We can choose to pray or we can choose not to pray. But Jesus still says we ought to pray. Then the third thing in this verse. Men ought always to pray. We ought to pray about everything. I've told you many times about when we had a couple that left our church and moved to Kingsport. And I went over to, I was up in that area, and I went by to visit them one time. They started going to another church right close, a good church there. And I talked to them for a little while, and I started leaving. And the lady said, preacher, will you pray that the Lord will give my husband and I a child? We've been praying and trying to have a child for 10 years. And it sort of scared me. I was a young preacher. And nobody ever asked me to pray that they'd have a baby. But I got down on my knees and I prayed that I said, Lord, you've opened the wombs of ladies down through the years and given them children. And I said, Lord, if it be your precious will, give this fine couple a precious child that can raise for the glory of God. Well, I didn't think much more about it. In 9 months, this lady called one of our secretaries here at the church and said, tell the preacher his prayer was answered. And they had a fine baby boy. Then about 12 or 13 years later, I was in Indian Path Hospital. And I run into this lady. She said, preacher, remember that child you prayed that God would give us? That boy the Lord gave us? And I said, yes. She said, he got saved and baptized on Sunday night. And then his dear mother passed away just recently, last year or two. And when I retired a year or so ago, the father brought the son. His mother now is in glory. Brought that son. He had graduated from East Tennessee University, State University. Had a suit on. His young businessman, about 25, 26 years old. He came and sat right back there on that side. The child that God gave an answer to prayer. The only child they had before she went on to be with the Lord was this precious son. So we ought to pray about everything. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. There's nothing so little or insignificant in our lives that folks that God's not concerned about. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Now, what is your need tonight? In the crowd like this, there are many, many needs. But the Lord can take care of every need if we'll just pray. He can do it. Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He'll never suffer the righteous to be moved. Then fourthly, men ought always to pray. Men ought always to pray. Literally, in the Greek, I'm told this word pray means to wish for or beg or to desire something. Men ought always to desire and ask for and wish for and beg for things from God. Years ago, when I was up in Illinois, I'd engaged Ellen, and she went off to finish her teaching in school down at the University of Illinois. And I was still in Youth for Christ work there in Sterling, and I had a little red Anglin, and it was no burden to me about when I could on the sometimes to get in that little red Anglin. It wasn't much bigger than this pulpit art. Remember those little red little Anglias, and they don't make them now, but I got in that little red Anglin and went down to see my fiance that I was going to marry. It was no burden for me to go down there to see her because I loved her. And she's been a wife to me now for 50 years. Remember Dr. Lakin one time saying that most preachers are ruined the day they get married. And I was sitting right over here. He looked over me and said, son, it made you. Everybody said amen there to that. But if we love the Lord, prayer is not a burden. It is a great joy and a delight. You know, it's a thrill to be able to meet the Lord in the secret place of prayer. The songwriter calls it sweet hour of prayer. Matthew 6:6 is a great challenge to me, where Jesus said, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You know, there's one room in this church that I have a title deed to. Nobody else has it. That room right over there behind the piano, that room there. And the deacons gave me a title deed. That's for ever since we've had this church. Every morning I'd get up about 3:30 or 4, and I'd come up and spend time in that reading the Word of God and pray. And it's good to get alone in a room where there's no phones and no computers, just a hideaway office. And folks, we need to find a place to pray. We need to get a place where we can get alone with God and pray to our Father in secret. And our Father, which seeth in secret, will reward us openly. There's a chorus we used to sing, shut in with God in a secret place. Shut in with God, beholding his face. Oh, I want to be shut in with God. Then the fifth thing, men ought always to pray and not to faint. This means don't give up, don't grow weary, just keep on praying until the answer comes. Jesus said in Luke 11:9, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Now, these verbs are present tense and continuous action. It means ask and just keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. And Jesus said, you can get your prayers answered. I thank God. I thank God he is a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. I've got this on my desk and I'm going to put it in the book that I'm hopefully will have out in a few months. But this happened in the year 2007. Let's see here. Peggy was there. Is Connie here tonight? Okay, Peggy's here, and she'll testify to this. In 2007, Elmer and Kathy Smith's son David was up in the hospital, and they thought he might have Legionnaire's disease. I believe they caught that. I don't know if it was ever determined or not. But they weren't expecting him to make it. So I went up there one night, and Peggy and Connie and Elmer and Kathy were sitting there, and it didn't look like he'd make it through the night. And a female doctor came out and said that he's in bad shape and we're going to try one other thing. And they were going to put him in a coma and paralyze him so he could get some rest. He said, that's his only chance of making it. And she left us, and I said, well, let's pray. And Peggy was urging, remember this. And I prayed, and they prayed. And we turned it over to God and asked the Lord to touch the boy and heal him and help him be his precious will. And I left. But folks, you know why? Before that lady, that doctor, got back in intensive care, the Lord touched David. And when she got back there, he was already started breathing on his own. His kidneys started working. And then I didn't know anything about this. The next day, I don't know where you, Peggy, or Connie, one of you. I asked her, how's David doing? Well, she said, haven't you heard? And last night, God heard and answered our prayers. And he's doing better. See, God does hear and just keep on praying till light breaks through. The Lord will answer you. God keeps his promise. His word is true. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. Now, let me give you... close this discussion on prayer tonight by giving you four reasons men don't pray. First of all, men don't pray because of unbelief. Hebrews 11:6 says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Sometimes we don't pray because we just don't believe God, that he'll hear and answer our prayers. And we think maybe God's not interested in us and our problems and our needs. But he is. He careth for you. He careth for you. Through sunshine or shadows, he careth for you. Then sometimes we don't pray because of self-confidence. Some people don't pray because they think they just don't need God. They get along pretty good and they think they don't need God. But let me remind you that you're made of the dust of the earth. And we're one heartbeat out of the grave. We need to realize how little we are and how much we need God's help in our lives. Then some people don't pray because of sin, and they love their sin too much. But you know, we can sing with sin in our lives. We can teach with sin in our lives. We can play the piano with sin in our lives. You can drive a bus with sin in your life. You know, you can even preach with sin in your life. But there's one thing you can't do. You can't pray with your sin in your heart and your life. Psalm 66:18, the word of God says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Then fourthly, it may be because some of us don't pray because we neglect the secret place of prayer. We just don't take time to pray. And most of us fall in this category. We just are not willing to sacrifice time and energy and to get along with God. Not willing to give up TV and ball games. I've got a big challenge tomorrow. Seeing the Big Orange play. Am I going to study and pray for Sunday? Or am I going to watch Tennessee play football tomorrow? So you know which way I'm going to go on that. But we're not willing to give up things to pray. Let me just, I've tried to hurry through this tonight, but I want to just, once again, when I first came to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, the Lord started, some of you were here, and you know what I'm talking about. God started blessing, and we church grew, and we outgrew where the funeral home was down there, and we had to build, and we went into a building program and built where the chapel is over here tonight. That's about 45 years ago. And as soon as I got to Gray, Tennessee, you know what? The Lord started blessing, but he had to teach me a lesson on prayer. And trouble came. They didn't tell me in school, you don't relocate the oldest Baptist church in the state of Tennessee. And so trouble came, and I thought my ministry was over with. And they got a petition around the area to run me and the song leader off. And one night, about midnight, the fire engine came to my house. Somebody put a fire call out for our house, and I went out there, and the man said, "Well, somebody in your church is against you, preacher." And then we were going through this building program. And they got a petition up to run me and the song leader off. I could have found that petition. I never did see it. I'd put my name on there. But anyway, and listen, here's the thing is, folks, the Lord had me just where he wanted me. He was teaching me a lesson. I didn't realize. I had a wife and one child. I believe Ellen was expecting Tori at that time, I believe, or maybe he'd just come bouncing along. I don't remember exactly. But I thought, now my ministry's ruined. They're going to run me off. And what am I going to do with a wife and two children? But you know, the Lord had me just where he wanted me. He was fixing to teach me a great lesson that would be follow me down through the years in this church. He was teaching me a lesson on prayer. And we built this, the chapel and the educational building over that area. And we're going to go into it in just a few weeks. And so the opposition to moving up here put it in the John City paper that we're going to vote next Sunday where to go up to the new church or not. You that weren't here, you see what I'm talking about. We already had the church built, and the opposition to moving and relocating was going to vote in our church where to go up to the new church or not. Well, on Sunday morning, the day of the vote, I went up and talked to the John City editor of the paper I said, now, that is not an authorized call for a meeting this Sunday at our church. He said, I can't get involved in a church fight. I said, well, I understand. So that on Sunday morning, I met with the deacons in my home there in the living room before Sunday school. And I'll tell you, we wept. I saw deacons weep that I'd never seen weep since I've been here. And I told them I said, men, you go on over and get the Sunday school started, and I'll go over on the lake and pray, and I'll be back for church. And we had one man was going to stand by the piano player and keep anybody off from her if they wanted to whip her. And Jody, we had a man to stand by your grandmother to help protect her that Sunday before you were ever born. And so here, then I went over on the lake and prayed. Walked up and down below the boon down there, up that creek up just below the boon down. And it's almost time that I had to come back and get the service started. And I still didn't have any peace. And I got on my knees, and the Lord led me to Isaiah 43, where it says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. I needed to hear that. And the Holy Spirit started speaking in my heart through these verses. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. And I needed to hear that. And then verse 2, when the Holy Spirit used this verse now to give me great peace in my heart, when thou passest through the waters, and brother, I was going through the waters, I will, by the way, one woman came up the fence on two different occasions there and told me that I was going to be put 6 feet under twice. And I'd go over on the lake and pray. Ellen said, but Gene, you better not go over there. They might follow you over there and bushwhack you or something like that, she told me. And I said, honey, I'm not going to let them scare me out of praying. And I went on over to the lake. I'll have to admit, I look behind every bush not to see if anybody's behind me. But this is the Lord. The Lord has given. We talk about a study course in prayer. You let them start threatening your life and threatening to run you off. And listen, you don't need a study course in prayer. You'll learn how to pray if there's any praying with you at all. But anyway, the Lord was speaking to my heart. I had to come back on and get the service started. Well, now, but the Lord here was speaking. Schofield says these verses are for the chosen nation, redeemed and restored. I got news from Mr. Schofield. It's all these verses also for me, for Gene Lashley right here. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers. Now, the Holy Spirit was giving me assurance in my heart. Through the rivers, God was assuring me they wouldn't overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. And brother, I was going through the fires. But God assured me. Now, he didn't tell me, Lord didn't tell me what he's going to do. But I just felt somehow, some way, the Lord was going to help me. And thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Now, it was about time to start church. In about 10 or 15 minutes, I was over on the lake. And then verse 3. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. And I got up off of my knees with assurance of that verse that somehow the Lord is going to take care of me. And I came back to Buffalo Ridge, down where the funeral home is now. And that morning, I'll never forget, one man, older man, that he tried to come up and take the service away from me. And I put my hand out like that and I said, now, when I'm through with it this morning, you can have it. He said, okay, and went back and sat down in his seat back there. I don't know what happened if he tried to force himself in on the pulpit. But anyway, the Lord took care of it. And I preached that morning. I don't know how I preached that morning. Preached on the lame man at Gate Beautiful. Gave the invitation, and I'll never forget, there's three adults came forward. I don't remember if they got saved or recapped or what. But they came and made a decision for Christ right there. And then after the service, I told the people that I talked to the lawyers for there's a bonding company and an insurance company and a building company. Three brothers had three companies. And I talked to, on Saturday night up to Nashville with a lawyer, with those men around that table. And he said, Preacher Lashley, it doesn't matter to us what you all do over there tomorrow. He said, you've got a building to pay for. So any action you folks would take tomorrow would be null and void. So I got up on that Sunday morning after I preached and said, folks, any action we take this morning will be null and void, and so therefore we'll not have a business meeting today. And all that bunch sitting there going to vote not to come up here and going to vote me out and vote the song leader out. I said, there'll be no business meeting this Sunday, nor the next, nor the next. You're dismissed. And my deacon's waiting on me, and they got around me and led me out of that church. And I got outside, and there was a man over here, and I broke loose from that. My deacons went over, and I said, hello, brother so-and-so, and he went, and stuck his hand out and shook my hand. And that man had brought a knife to knife me that morning. And so, folks, the Lord, 45 years ago, gave me a lesson on prayer. And he taught me that God does hear and God does answer prayer. So let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. Men ought to always to pray and not to faint, Jesus said. Now, you may have a great need here tonight. Maybe you've tried everything. Why don't you try prayer? That maybe you're facing a great need right now, a great problem. You don't have the answer, but God can help you. Just come and pray about that need tonight. God's able to help us with that need. We need to pray about our faith promises Sunday. Maybe you need to come and pray about what God would have you to do. Just sing, Brother Gary, all to Jesus I surrender. And if right now, just come down, get on your knees, and talk to the Lord about that need you have in your life right now. Come right now. The Lord's able to help you with that need. Come right on. Thank you. You know what I'd like for us to do? I'd like for 5 or 10 of you men to come down right now, and let's get on our knees and pray for our faith promise offering this Sunday. We need to get the blessing of God on this faith promise offering, that our people would do the will of God this Sunday in this faith promise offering. Brother Jack Mosier. Brother Jack, would you pray that God would touch us and have his way in our church in this faith promise offering this Sunday?
Thanks, Lord Jesus, that you've spoke to us about and spoke to us for, Lord God. I thank you and praise you now for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Heavenly Father, we don't have anything to bring for ourselves or anything, but we come to you tonight claiming your precious word, Lord, that you've told us now. Heavenly Father, you said, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Dear God, this week now, come Sunday, we're expecting great and mighty things from the Lord. And Heavenly Father, you said now that it didn't take a whole army or anything of that sort, but you said we're just 2 or 3 are gathered in your name, Lord God. You're here in the midst. And dear God, I believe you're here tonight. I believe you've been in the messages, the testimonies, all these things that have been shown to us, Lord, about the works going on in Buffalo Ridge Church. And dear God, all these things lead us to believe that you want something to happen in this church this weekend that'll be memorable, Lord Jesus, that we'll never forget, dear God, and you'll bring us together on this thing of this faith promise offering. Folks can't go unless we send them, Lord. And dear God, I pray you'll help us now. Heavenly Father, you told us, he said, that if we'd ask, we would receive, Lord Jesus. And Heavenly Father, we just come tonight asking you, not for ourselves, Lord God. We don't want a penny, Heavenly Father. Ours is, we've taken care of our own needs, dear God. And everything, Lord God, that we want to do is for the benefit of those folks out in some foreign field, somewhere, Lord God. And I thank you tonight, Lord God, for what you've done. I thank you for what we believe you're going to do, Lord God. I thank you for these men that have come, spent many hours on these messages, these presentations, all to glorify Jesus. Lord, we look around at all these flags, nations all over the world, and people dying and going to hell. And Lord, we have the privilege and the honor and the very opportunity to do something that will help. God, help us, I pray. Heavenly Father, I don't know what's in people's hands. I don't know anybody here, what their financial status is. And Lord, it doesn't matter whether I know or not. But dear God, I know, dear God, that you've impressed me to do what I can. And dear God, I'm going to do that. I promise you, Lord, I'll do my best to be faithful. I promise you tonight that if you'll show me, dear God, you've already shown me, I believe, what you want me to do. But dear God, if you want to change that, it's all yours. I don't have anything, Lord God, that I claim on that to be mine. It's all yours. And we ask you to help us, dear God, to make the right decision and to lift up and honor and glorify the Prince of Peace. God, thank you again for all these messages we've heard. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for anticipating a good time tomorrow, fellowship, dear God, and glorifying you. Thank you, Lord, for what we expect to happen Sunday. And Lord Jesus, we promise you tonight that we'll give you all the praise and honor and glory. We have nothing to brag about except Jesus. And dear God, help us to do that faithfully tonight and the rest of our life. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I believe the Lord's been pleased with this conference, and we give him all the glory for it, all the praise for it. I'm going to have all the missionaries who have a display, if they wouldn't mind, to make their way over to the gymnasium, if they wouldn't mind to do that. Remind all the children who are here to go by and get your 2 stamps tonight. You're going for India, and you're going for the United States of America. So let me encourage you with that. And then let me remind you about the churchwide picnic tomorrow night. It begins at 5 o'clock. There's going to be transportation leaving here at 4:30, just in case you'd like to ride one of the church vehicles. That'll be fine, okay? Let's all stand together, and I hope that you've been blessed by being here. We're going to be dismissed in prayer. Let me remind you, please go by the gymnasium tonight. I believe is Brazilian cheese bread. Literal Brazilian cheese bread. Nathan Foran had mentioned it, and there's a certain place somewhere close to here that gives the ingredients. So some of our folks have made this Brazilian cheese bread. Even if you're not planning on staying, since they've worked hard for that, like I told you last night, if you wouldn't mind to just go out through the gym, pick up a piece of that, take it out, go by the displays. That'll be a great thing. And hopefully see you tomorrow night, okay? Brother Scott Martin, sir, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us in prayer, please.